Good morning. It's great to see you this morning. Appreciate your presence here so that we can study God's Word together. As was mentioned, starting Monday is our vacation Bible school. This year we're looking at the parables of Jesus. Tomorrow night we'll be looking at the parable of the talents. Tuesday night we'll be looking at the parable of the sower and the soils. Wednesday night we'll be looking at the parable of the unmerciful servant. As always, the books that we order have five lessons in them. It's set up for a five-day VBS, and so we pick three and then leave two off. The two that were left off, one is the parable of the prodigal son, but the other one is the parable of the salt and the light. And as I looked at that, I decided that I wanted us to look at those verses together because there's a lot of great lessons that we can take away from what Jesus said. In Matthew chapter 5 and verses 13 through 16, we have him talking about salt and light. And he's talking about our influence. And so this morning I want us to take some time to look at the Christian salt. What does it mean when Jesus talks about the fact that we are the salt of the earth? We're in Matthew 5 and verse 13. You've got parallel accounts in Mark chapter 9 and also in Luke 14. And Jesus says there, you are the salt of the earth. But if the salt loses its flavor, how shall it be seasoned? It is then good for nothing but to be thrown out and trampled underfoot by men. As we look at the text, this idea of salt, in the ancient world, salt wasn't purified like we have it today. All right, salt, it contained a lot of impurities such as lime and iron. And this gave salt more of a dirty color, unlike the pure white salt that we have today. As the salt was dissolved, as it was used up, these insoluble elements were left behind. These elements that were left behind, they were flavorless, they were useless. And that's why the text says that it loses its flavor. Because when these insoluble materials were left behind, the salt, which really wasn't salt anymore, no longer contained any of those useful salt-like properties. As a result, the text says that it was good for nothing but to be thrown out. It was no longer useful. And so it was cast into the streets as a result of that. As Christians today, if we become untrue to our purpose, if we allow impurities to creep into our lives, if we become unfaithful to God, we can become like that salt. We can lose our ability to influence others for the cause of Christ, and we too can be cast out. Three points that I want us to notice together as we look at this idea of the Christian salt. We're going to notice most of the first point this morning, and then we'll notice the rest of it in the final two points this evening. Number one this morning, we want to notice a description to appreciate. A description to appreciate. Jesus said, you are the salt of the earth. And as we think about that designation, I want us to notice 10 descriptions of salt that also apply to the Christian. We're going to notice 6 of those this morning. 10 descriptions that also apply to the Christian. Number one, salt is an absolute necessity. Salt is an absolute necessity. Salt is one of God's indispensables. I know most of the time when we talk about what we need in order to live, we say air, water, and food, right? Well, included in that food needs to be the idea of salt, because it's just as needful. We can do without a lot of things, but salt is not one of them. It is a necessity. If a person's sodium levels are off, it can cause all kinds of problems with the body, whether that be too much or too little. Some of Napoleon's army, in the history books, they record that some of them died. They bled to death. And the reason was because there was a lack of salt. Their blood couldn't coagulate as a result of their sodium levels being so extremely low. And so when we think about things that are necessary, salt is a necessity. And brethren, I would submit to you that Christians are necessary too. We're necessary because we are God's chosen instruments. God, Christ, the Holy Spirit, they don't work directly. They work through us. You've heard the saying before, we're the hands and feet of Jesus, right? You look in the Bible as individuals are taught the gospel. What do we see happening? We see God sending people, right? With the exception of Saul, which was a very special case because he was going to be called to be an apostle, and as such, he had to be an eyewitness of Jesus. But in all other instances, we see people being sent. The Ethiopian nobleman, he's journeying along. What happens? Philip sent to him, right? And over accounts, you can look in the book of Acts where it was people who were sent to teach others the gospel. In 2 Corinthians chapter 3 and verse 2, Paul writes and says, "You are our epistles, written in our hearts, known and read by all men." I'm sure you've heard the saying, you may be the only Bible that some people read. You know, that's a pretty biblical statement, actually. 2 Corinthians 3, 2 that we just read. Paul, in essence, says, you're our letters, living letters. Let me ask you, what story are you telling? What are people seeing through the life that you're living? If God's will is going to be carried out, friends, Christians are going to have to be the ones to do it. Christians are a necessity. That brings us to our second characteristic. Salt works at the expense of itself. Salt works at the expense of itself. When you put salt onto something, that salt is being consumed, right? It works at the expense of itself. And the same is true of Christians. Jesus came to seek and to save the lost, right? Luke 19:10, for the Son of Man has come to seek and to save that which is lost. He did that at the expense of giving Himself in life. And He did that at the expense of giving Himself in death. Jesus' whole being was used up in accomplishing that purpose. In 2 Corinthians 12:15, Paul says of himself, "And I will gladly spend and be spent for your souls. Though the more abundantly I love you, the less I am loved." Paul says, I'm willing to give myself over for the cause of Christ. I'm willing to spend and to be spent, to be used up for the cause of Jesus. And we need to be willing to do the same. Matthew 16:24, Jesus said to His disciples, "If anyone desires to come after Me, let him deny himself and take up his cross and follow Me." We've looked at this passage many times. If anyone desires, there has to be a will, a want to, right? None of us are going to follow Jesus just by accident. We have to desire that. We have to want to follow Him. Then we need to deny ourselves. We have to empty ourselves. It can't be about us. When we empty ourselves, we fill up with Christ. And then we take up that cross. That means there's work involved. There's things that must be done and things that we're going to have to endure. And then follow Him. Just as salt worked at the expense of itself, Christians are to be used up for the cause of Christ. Let me ask you, friend, and I ask myself the same question. What is Christianity costing us? What are we giving for the cause of Christ? Are we giving of our time? Of our talents? Of our money? Of our very selves? Friends, we can't be faithful children of God without expending ourselves for our God. Salt and the Christian both work at the expense of itself. Number three, salt must come in contact with the substance to be influenced. Salt must come in contact with the substance to be influenced. Let's say I go to a restaurant and I get some mashed potatoes. And I take one bite of those mashed potatoes, and y'all, they are as bland can get. I mean, I just put a thing of bland stuff in my mouth. And I say, yeah, that's not going to work. And so I get someone to pass me the salt, and I've got my mashed potatoes right here, and I start pouring the salt over here. Is that going to work? No, that's not going to help the mashed potatoes, is it? They're still going to be bland when I take another bite. Salt has to come in contact with the substance that it's trying to influence, right? I have to pour the salt on the mashed potatoes, not to the side of the mashed potatoes. And in like manner, as Christians, we can't influence the world if we don't come in contact with it. Jesus said in Matthew chapter 28 and verse 19, "Go, therefore, and make disciples of all the nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit." Notice he didn't say wait on them. He didn't say, well, just sit back. Eventually they'll come to you and ask you about Jesus. He said, go to them. Go to them. Talk to them. Invite them. Bring them in. I realize there's some tact that is involved in this. We don't want to necessarily be the guy with the bullhorn and the big sign saying, the end is near. All right. I don't know if that's ever worked. But I don't. If it does, the percentages have to be really, really low. Colossians 4:6 tells us, let your speech always be with grace, seasoned with, here's our word, salt, that you may know how you ought to answer everyone. 1 Peter 3:15, but sanctify the Lord God in your hearts and always be ready to give a defense to everyone who asks you a reason of the hope that is in you with meekness and fear. I realize that there's tact involved, but if we're not careful, we can put so much emphasis on tact that we never actually make contact with anyone. Also, when salt makes contact, it maintains its saltiness. It influences the substance. It doesn't allow the substance to influence it. I don't put that salt on those bland mashed potatoes, and those bland mashed potatoes make the salt bland, right? That's not how that works. The salt influences the mashed potatoes, not the other way around. How many of you are wanting to go eat mashed potatoes right now? Salt influences the substance that it comes in contact with. It doesn't allow the substance to influence it. And as Christians, we're to influence the world. We're not to allow the world to influence us. In Romans chapter 12 and verse 2, Paul would say, "And do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God." We're not to allow the world to influence us. We're to influence the world. But brethren, let's be honest. Too often times that happens the other way around. And that's not what God wants. God wants us to be separate. 2 Corinthians 6:17, "Therefore come out from among them and be separate, says the Lord." The world should see a difference. Salt and Christians must come in contact with those that we are seeking to influence. Number four, salt preserves and prevents. Salt preserves and prevents. Meats are salted to preserve them. I don't see this as much anymore, but I can remember my grandmother and granddaddy's house. They had a smokehouse. And there would be meats that would be hung in there. They would be salted and sometimes smoked. And I think that's where the old saying goes, taken out behind the woodshed, comes from. Granny never walked that far. She just grabbed the nearest switch. And we didn't have to worry about going behind the woodshed. She got us way before we got that far. But meats are salted to preserve them. And friends, the godly influence of Christians can preserve the earth. You don't believe that? Go all the way back to Genesis chapter 18. Men could have saved Sodom. Godly men could have saved Sodom from its fate. You remember as the angels explained to Abraham what's about to take place. And Abraham says, surely God's not going to destroy the righteous with the unrighteous. He says, surely the God of all the earth will do right. And you remember, he begins with 50. In Genesis 18:26, so the Lord said, if I find in Sodom 50 righteous within the city, then I will spare all the place for the sake of 50. And this is what's amazing about Abraham. You know, I don't know about you, but I'm in, all right, we got 50. Woo. No, Abraham says, well, God, what about 45? Will you destroy the city just for the sake of 5? And so God says, all right, Abraham, 45. And then Abraham says, well, what about 40? And God says, okay, Abraham, I won't destroy it. What about 30? What about 20? What about 10? 10 righteous souls could have spared the destruction of that city. But 10 righteous souls couldn't be found. In my opinion, the strength of a nation lies not in its military might, or in its great intellect, or in its wealthy commerce, but in the godly influence of the Christians that live within it. The writer of Proverbs in Proverbs 14:34 said, righteousness exalts a nation, but sin is a reproach to any people. As Christians, we exert a preserving, a saving influence on others by taking the gospel to them. Number 5, salt purifies. Salt purifies. In 2 Kings chapter 2, verses 19 through 22, we have an interesting account that takes place where salt purifies, just like we're talking about. Then the men of the city said to Elisha, please notice the situation of this city is pleasant, as my Lord sees, but the water is bad and the ground is barren. And he said, bring me a new bowl and put salt in it. So they brought it to him, and he went out to the source of the water and cast in the salt there and said, thus says the Lord, I have healed this water. From it there shall be no more death or barrenness. So the water remains healed to the day according to the word of Elisha, which he spoke. Now I realize in that account, it was more about what God did. But salt promotes healing. And it purifies. You can do this, I don't suggest that you do it, but you can put salt on a wound to help to purify it and heal it. Now, like I said, I don't suggest you do that because it's not going to feel, we've got other things that will burn a whole lot less than salt now. But salt has that property, that ability. If you have a sore throat, how many of you gargle some salt water? You know, I didn't learn until about a year ago that it does not take the amount of salt that my mom used to put in the salt water for it to be effective. Reagan's very thankful. The first time I gave it to Reagan, I didn't know that either. She's thankful that I've learned that since then. Salt has that purifying ability. And Christians do as well. People usually act differently as Christians come around, don't they? Have you ever had that experience? Maybe a conversation is taking place and you walk up and suddenly that conversation changes. I've met people in the community who had no idea who I am. I just met them, struck up a conversation. We're talking and maybe they use some colorful language. I'm not going to throw a rock at somebody when they do that. So, But then the question always comes around to, well, what do you do for work? And I'm, well, I'm the preacher at the Ripley Church of Christ. And suddenly those words are gone. They're replaced by blessed and holy. And we've all had those experiences. Well, that's because just like salt, the Christian can have a purifying effect. Sixth and finally, salt can also be destructive. In Judges chapter 9 and verse 45, so Abimelech fought against the city all that day. He took the city and killed the people who were in it, and he demolished the city and sowed it with salt. Why did Abimelech sow the city with salt? Because it destroys the ground. Makes it worthless. Too much salt in our system, as we said earlier, can be a bad thing. High blood pressure, heart attack. Jeremiah tells us that there is a time to build and a time to destroy in Jeremiah 1:10. And God's word can be destructive in that way. And what I mean by that is the same words that save the faithful condemn the wicked. Sometimes we are called on to reprove and rebuke as well as exhort. In 2 Timothy chapter 4 and verse 2, when he's telling Timothy to preach the word, he says, be ready in season and out of season. Reprove, rebuke, and exhort with all longsuffering and teaching. Salt and the Christian. An absolute necessity. Works at the expense of itself, must make contact in what it intends to influence, preserves and prevents, purifies, and can be destructive. Jesus said, you are the salt of the earth. But if the salt loses its flavor, how shall it be seasoned? It is then good for nothing but to be thrown out and trampled underfoot by men. Let me ask you, friend, are you the salt of the earth? If you're not a Christian this morning, will you take those steps? Will you turn from sin, believing in Jesus? Will you put Christ on in baptism? Maybe you've done those things, but you've allowed sin to creep in. Friend, correct that this morning. God wants us all to be an influence for Him. And we can. If we'll follow Him faithfully. If you need to respond to heaven's invitation, we'd ask you to come right now as we stand and sing.